Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Also, number 23, Anthony Davis.
Oh, my God!
We would like both Tatum and we would like Jaylen Brown. For that, you get Anthony Davis. If I'm Danny Ainge, you know what I say? Bleep yes!
You know what?
Right now! Can I take you back? I want to take you back to 2007.
Tom, the players are graded after every game, correct? Are the coaches graded?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, Scratchy. You're finding a way to just tweak me a little bit, which I'm not enjoying.
I was like, oh, I just can't. He, you know what, Skip? He rubs me some kind of way with all this stuff.
Right now.
Jeez, where's the music?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
This music. I hear music. Some music here somewhere. All right, let's get to the phone calls. People are,
yes.
Are either pissed or happy or both.
Worried.
Here's a Dave in Weymouth. Hello, David.
Hey, guys. Lou, I'm a nurse. You have any chest pain, left arm numbness, or anything like that going on? You okay?
No. Sometimes it's actually, I feel, I don't know, you tell me. I feel better sometimes.
Here looks a little funny.
It's going to be Glenn and Christian that are going to do the CPR, so you're going to take that into account.
Well, I'm just trying to get, it's going to be just those two soon anyways.
Hey, Dave.
I'm going in the booth in about 5 months.
Dave, what does it mean if his eye twitches?
Yeah, that just means it's Inspector Clouseau kind of thing.
No, I'm telling you.
His eye is twitching like when he has his little fits of rage. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Is that, should we be alarmed? Well, and what does it mean by when he says, you don't want to make me angry? You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Well, I'm Italian. I know what that means.
All right, because I'm not sure.
Lou, you're hopping all over Evaldi for $17 million, and I get it, but it's only $3 or $4 million than you would have paid for him. It's not the whole $17. And they have looked to the future. Their future was to win a World Series. They did it. Now they're going to look at how they deal with all these free agents. You might not like it, but they can't sign every one of them.
No, so don't sign Evaldi.
Here's the thing.
I told you, like I said, 13 a year for 3 years I was in on. If you had told me, I didn't know the payroll was where it was. What if they told you, we're going to sign Nathan Evaldi, the Red Sox are in on Nathan Evaldi, but if they sign him, then they're going to have to trade away pieces to get, to cut some salary. Would you be in on that? Because I tell you what, if I heard that, I would have said absolutely not, because I wasn't big on it anyway.
I agree with you there. I think the problem is, and what you guys should be all over, is the front office. They won a World Series. They're going to make boodles of money, and they can pay some money.
David, hold on. You're not making any sense. Please don't. But here's the thing. Please don't tell me they're cheap. Okay?
No, I'm not telling you they're cheap. What I'm saying is they won a World Series. Cash is flowing in freely right now. They should be looking at winning another one or two in the next few years.
But, Dave, they have a...
Yeah, but
This is crazy. They have a budget. They have a limit. You can't just say... What, do they go to $350 million, which probably cost them about $500 million after luxury tax? Okay. What are we talking about?
So there you go, Glenn. If you're going to sit there and take that, then you've got to understand that they can't sign everyone. And if they wait till the year's up, they get nothing back for Porcello. They get nothing back for Bogart.
Well, you tell me, Dave, because you like the Evaldi signing. What does he have to do next year now? If you don't have Porcello, what does he have to do?
He has to go out there and meet the expectations of him.
Give me him.
What are yours?
What are the expectations? If he goes out there, if he goes 14-6 for me for the year, 14-7.
How many innings? How many starts?
I assume he's starting all those.
You're going to get 28 starts out of him. You have to.
Oh, he's done that once in his entire career.
I'm not sure you're going to do that.
I mean, I have no clue why
I'm not sure you're
going to
do that.
That's the problem.
I love it. But he's right though. Like, so you're freaking out over a guy that was signed for what, like $3 or $4 million over?
Again,
it all adds up. Hold on, Christian.
If you disclose to me
that part of the deal is Porcello's gone,
that they were $28 million under a tax that they weren't willing to go over, would you want to spend 17 for that? Would you want to spend 13 for him? I would have said no. No, I don't. If it means that I got to trade away these pieces just to get bullpen help, no. And again, I wouldn't cry over Jackie because I think you can replace that. Porcello, I wouldn't go nuts over because I thought that was the move anyways. I said that before. If they sign Evaldi, then they move Porcello. I said that months ago. But more you look into Evaldi, you're saying, can you really replace what Rick Porcello brings you?
Question is, what can you get?
I don't think so.
What can you get in return for Jackie Bradley Jr.?
Xander Bogaerts makes absolutely no freaking sense.
None.
I can tell you that right
none.
Now.
None. I would think you look at him as one of your pieces going forward. Right? That's what I would think.
But I'm just saying, even Jackie Bradley's like $8.5 million, right?
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen just signed 3 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
For Andrew McCutchen. I would rather have Jackie than Andrew McCutchen.
No question.
So at 8.5, aren't I better off with Jackie? Because I got to replace him with someone, don't I? Or is,
yes,
or is this the starting outfield? Then you go sign another bench player for what? $6 million no, for Steve Pierce? But what'd I save? Two?
But you already said it. If you're going to trade anybody, and I don't know what you can get in return, Jackie Bradley Jr. is the guy because J.D. Martinez
is... Yeah, but
it's
not even to cut salary, though.
Well, you're going to cut some salary out
no,
of it.
No, I don't think you're going to cut $1 million or two. I mean, I'm just saying like that.
Well, you're going to get a fourth outfielder in return, right? That's what you're going to end up with. And you've got Holt still, so you got other pieces. But J.D. Martinez is probably going to play mostly in the outfield next year as opposed to a DH.
Then you better expect a lot more days in the DL for J.D. Martinez then as well.
And
yeah, I don't like that
and so,
idea.
And
either.
So Pierce and Moreland and
a nice sweet spot for
Pierce
him.
And Moreland and Holt and these other guys become your DH for 75% of the games. They do. That's how it works. That's how I think you would do it. Here's Drew in a car. Wants to talk about the Steelers. Go ahead, Drew.
Oh, yeah, it's Steeler week, so I figured I'd take my beating like a man.
Oh, you're a Steeler fan.
Yeah, why not? Those
I've called you many times. Yes, I'm a Steelers fan. Yeah. I'm also
well, good to hear from
Celtics
you.
Fan.
Maybe we'll hear from Tim Benz soon, too.
It's a big week.
No, I just say, no, I'm with you guys. I hate Tomlin as much as you guys do, and I have some good Tomlin stuff from the last 2 days. If
oh, good.
You want it.
Good.
Okay, sure.
Yesterday, I would say that even his most ardent supporters in this journalist world, the Ed Bouchettes and the Ron Cooks of the world, they were even on him. They were even saying, listen, if Roethlisberger could go back in and he didn't put him back in, we could even say that's a fireable offense. So the heat is on Tomlin heavily. And then today, they're saying this is all scripted. They got together as an organization with their PR people and said, how do we spin this? Because Tomlin's under so much criticism
that's
right now.
That's an interesting one.
They're saying that this whole thing, it's complete crap. And nobody's buying it. None of the journalists, none of the sports people in Pittsburgh right now are buying this excuse.
Good, I saw the stuff yesterday.
Say Tomlin.
Yeah, I saw the stuff yesterday because I did read the Pittsburgh paper right after the Sacramento Bee.
I wrote about that on WEEI.com.
There you go. And they were saying that they thought that he was doing it because he thought he could get away with it against a bad team.
Yeah.
So you're saying that they're... Today,
and
the narrative is that maybe they're making all of this stuff up with the damage.
No, the narrative that they're flat out. Even his most ardent supporters are saying, no, this is being made up.
Wow.
They're blaming an inanimate object that cannot defend itself. They're blaming an X-ray machine, saying, they're saying that an NFL team has an X-ray machine so antiquated that they couldn't read an X-ray off it.
See, I actually believe that one because that stadium is so old and
yeah,
they're not
dated piece of equipment.
I do believe that, but even then, wouldn't you like just wouldn't you still just like base it off of like pain?
He did, but Tomlin did sound like he was almost reading off of a script of almost something.
A telegram.
Yeah, of something that they talked about, and this is how we're going to reveal
it
to the
public. But here's the problem with them is that everybody, once they all kind of get together, just like the Alan Villanueva deal that with the whole kneeling situation, they all make an agreement. They all decide like the course of action, how they're going to approach it and attack the situation. And then once they break and they all go about their separate ways, they all do something separate. They all do something different. Like Ben Roethlisberger will have his own radio show, and he'll say something completely different than what Mike Tomlin is saying. It's just a revolving circle that never ends.
I mentioned that we might lose Xander Bogaerts. We already have lost Tim Neverett, apparently from the broadcast team. Have you put your application in for the job?
Yeah, I'm done. A few more weeks with you guys. A few more months.
Oh,
actually.
Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah.
You know, I always knew that's what you really wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why we were, I always figure like he wants to be in that booth.
I'd be careful what you wish
vibe.
For. I'd be careful what you wish for.
What do you mean?
Lots of all those road trips.
On the way out here.
I can do daily visits and interviews with Nate Eovaldi for the next 4 years.
We'll get an update from Mike McNansky in just a little bit.
Yep.
It sounds to me like...
you're going to have to kiss everybody's butt. You have to get on that plane.
Who wasn't happy?
You get no support in this
Who
job.
Who wasn't happy?
So this is Chad Finn's piece. Apparently, none of this was a surprise to Neverett. Neverett is leaving the Red Sox radio broadcast team. He will be joining the Dodgers radio team, right, next year. He said, I chose...
Actually, I don't know if that's even been talked about.
Oh, really? That's what I heard. I heard a little birdie told me today that he was going to join the Dodgers broadcast booth. No surprise to Neverett, who said Tuesday that he chose to let his contract run out rather than continue to work for flagship station WEEI. Quote, I chose to let my contract expire rather than go back and work for them, said Neverett, who was told by station executives in June to start looking for another job. I've had that happen. But had hoped that the situation would get better. The Red Sox were very supportive of me during a very difficult year, he said. They wanted me to return. It had nothing to do with the Red Sox.
He said, this place.
Yeah, and then he talked about lack of support. Neverett, who spent three seasons in the radio booth alongside Joe Castiglione, said he was extremely disappointed with how the past year went because of a lack of support from WEI management. He mentioned Menahan at all in a piece?
No.
Quote, when you can say that after you get to call a World Series victory, then you know it was pretty disappointing on how it all went down, he said. There were industry rumors about possible changes in WEEI's Red Sox radio booth all season long. You know who was sticking the knife in Neverett's back.
Of course it was.
It was the third guy in the booth during the playoffs. Yeah. Our own guy, Lou Maloney.
Seemed to be the second guy in the booth.
He asked me one day, he said, how did you push Johnny Mosh down the stairs? Could you give me an idea of how it works?
I wonder where he learned it from.
He asked me for advice. Yeah. Anyway, one with multiple sources. Ooh, Chad Finn's working with multiple sources now. This is pretty good. Advanced stuff.
Where's Reamer in all this?
We got a Reamer piece, too. Have said it was a genuine consideration had WEEI dropping the concept of a conventional radio baseball broadcast to make the call of the game sound more like a sports radio talk show.
They're playing in 2019.
Matter of fact, didn't they talk to us? They wanted us to do a spring training game and do it in an unconventional way.
Yes. Something came up.
Right.
Don't know what it is.
This last quote was... this last quote
wasn't Lou's fault, I can tell you that. I don't think it was mine.
This last quote's a little tasty.
His last quote, he said, Neverett, an Emerson College graduate and longtime Red Sox fan, said he expects to have an announcement about his next job soon. It's the Dodgers. He said he will commute from Boston to that new gig. Quote, I literally lived in the shadow of Fenway Park for a while, he said. I love it here. This is home. But other people don't seem to care.
Oh, that one hurt. This is home and they don't care.
They don't care.
You ship my ass out.
Oh, got more.
Well, that one hurts.
Let's do this. Let's listen to Tim real quick.
Butera last year.
That's not Tim!
That's two out of six.
That's not Tim.
Stop it.
That guy's older than Tim's not that old. All right,
now give me Tim.
1-2 to Escobar.
Okay, that's not even fair. That's fair.
He'll be fine.
It'll be great.
It's not a good way to go out, though. You don't go out saying stuff like that, right?
Well,
it's a play-by-play business. You bounce around in the position from, unless you're a guy like Joe that's been there for a zillion years, you bounce around from one franchise to the next. You don't burn bridges like this.
I love it here. This is my home, but other people don't seem to care. Oh.
What? I like the part. I literally lived in the shadow of Fenway Park for a while. What did he do? Did he have to dress up as Wally to go out in the streets? Or what do you do? Everybody will know who you are.
So you're he had a year left in his deal.
He had a year left in his deal.
And what did he say? The Intercom told him to look for another job. I was told in June to start looking for another job.
It was June. It was you that did it. You know that.
So far, Solaire's just spit on both.
I never got paid. You guys owe me $100.
We do owe you $100. And we'll always owe you $100.
You'll be compensated now. Yeah. We actually did you a favor. Right. You're welcome.
I think you did. I think you did.
I'll raise your son for you.
I think you did him in
the clan.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Can't wait for all those road trips.
God, all the things you'll see, Lou.
I know.
I'm actually looking forward to it. The lunches, the brunches, hanging out with Joe.
Yeah, he lost his glove. We call that a yard sale right there.
How about that guy?
Maybe it'll be that guy.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a little bit of a transition, but I think about those winners all of off. I'll listen to you guys, though.
There you go.
Right, I promise.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Lou. Thank you an awful lot. I'm looking at Reamer's piece, because Reamer's now a big media journalist.
Yeah.
Neverett, 52, joined the Red Sox Radio Network, yada, yada, yada. New Hampshire native, Emerson College. in a text message to WEEI.com. Well, that was nice of Tim.
Hello, everyone. Oh, boy. These are now we're booming.
Never declined to comment on the news to WEEI.com. He did, however, send out a tweet thanking the Red Sox for their support. It's becoming pretty obvious here. He sends out the tweet to the Red Sox, to EEI.com, declined to comment. Thank you to the Red Sox front office and loyal radio listeners for the great support I have received, especially this year. Although they wanted me to return, I have decided to let my current contract with WEEI expire in order to pursue other professional opportunities.
Well,
so that's all he gave him to. All he gave to Reamer.
Just like Minahan said, like if the Red Sox really wanted him, he'd still be there.
I would think so.
Trust me.
Is that how we ended?
Trust
that
me. Yeah. I like it when Minahan says, "Trust me."
He said the Red Sox.
Does he wink? Does he have a little emoji? A little winking emoji there too? No.
Sometimes they do.
McKenzie here, and I love you.
You're kidding me? Minahan's having a celebration today. He's been trying to drive him out now for the last.
Well,
3 years.
Put it this way: we'll always have
everyone
Atlanta.
He tries to drive out. He actually ends up succeeding, though.
We'll always have
it's
Atlanta.
Good point. They move on to bigger and better centers.
I promise you guys this: I will stay with you until Atlanta. To the Super Bowl.
To Atlanta?
Yeah, and then it'll probably be.
Well,
then I'll get
Super
ready
Bowl.
To transition.
So it's pretty much like in the middle of January.
Well, I'll be in it till the Patriots get bounced. How's
so
that?
When, okay. So when okay, we get to, so we go down to spring training and it's just Glenn and I.
Yep.
And maybe we're going to audition like a new, like a third man in type of deal.
All right, so let's
F-O.
Test him out.
You can call it
Christian.
F-O.
Christian, let's do this. Let's test him out. Let's test him out right now. Okay. Because since he's going to be part of the Red Sox team next year, the broadcast team.
Yep.
We all know how it works. When you sit in that broadcast booth, you can't do what we do. You can't be really critical.
No.
You know, you've got to kind of go along.
We're going to change it to more of a talk show.
For like a minute. Yeah,
and then they're going to be
multiple sources.
Then you're going to get slapped on the wrist and they're going to say no.
Sam Kennedy.
You can't be critical of the Red Sox.
Sam Kennedy will be sitting behind you, slapping you in the back of your head.
Delete that.
So let me just throw this out.
Eckersley's on the broadcast. He's critical.
But you
in like a fun-loving way. He has like good cliches and one-liners.
So Rob Bradford obviously took a shortcut to Vegas this week. Went to Chandler, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Dustin Pedroia's dream home. It's like 18 rooms or something like that. Got a batting cage and big, huge gym and the whole works. Big enough for 7 Christmas trees. Bradford tells us, and he's got a quote in here because we all know Pedroia's got a bad knee. Kind of knee that might end baseball players' careers. Pedroia is intent on not letting that knee get the last word. So here's his quote. Put it this way. I just look at my whole career, and nobody expected me to do what I did. And I've enjoyed proving everyone wrong. He told WEEI.com, filling his workout room with intensity.
Am I in the booth or am I here?
You're in the booth. I think I have to do it one more time. That's it. And that's going to be fun. I enjoy that, and I hope it turns out the way it did the first time.
Yeah. Am I in a booth again?
You're in a booth.
Nobody would ever doubt Dustin Pedroia that he'll be back. He's just he's Petey. You know, we expect him to
Dirt
come
dog.
Back. Now, if I wasn't in the booth, you know, if I might...
you're not in the booth yet, so why don't you let it out now?
You know what? I'm going to do it. Let's do it after the break.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll do it after the
because
break.
Because this is...
Way to bring
I don't
it
know,
back
this is
in.
A narrative that I know Bradford people could. I have to talk about. It's been long enough.
Oh, really?
We discuss it.
Okay, because we've had this discussion before.
I know.
We've talked about Pedroia before.
I am.
Wow.
I am.
This is not.
Can I tell
just,
you?
I read this stuff, and I'm just like, you know, for me personally, I wouldn't say it's offensive, but I mean, to me, it's just, it bothers me.
You know,
okay.
You hold on. Well, let me warn him real quick. I know about these things. You know, if you do this, you're not going to get that job.
You're going to lose the
home. You're not going to get that job.
Gig.
I want to give you. Listen, let's take a break.
Now you're going to give me 3.5 minutes or so to think about it.
I want you to think about it.
Think about to talk him down.
Pretty sure I got to talk about it.
Do not talk him down.
Okay.
No. We'll be right back. We don't give a rat's ass. He's out. It's me and you, buddy.
You might have to come back.
No, we got him. Get him to talk.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merloney, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
We all love each other. We're in here together. I mean, there's nothing that's going to divide this team. For whatever people say from the outside, oh, we don't have a leader. I'm standing right here. Been here for a long time. Mm. We're in first place. That's it. Right what you guys want. Here I am. See anybody else standing up doing this? Do you? Nope.
That's a good point.
Fact. There's your source from the mouth.
Dustin Pedroia. He gets into the whole Machado thing, too, with Bradford. It actually is a pretty good piece, and we all know Bradfo has a really good relationship with Pedroia. He probably gets, like, free T-shirts and stuff like that, I'm sure. It's interesting that Pedroia keeps on doing this. He's 34 now. He's had a hell of a career. First year, he was Rookie of the Year. Second year, he was MVP. I remember his first season because he came up in September, and he really struggled. I knew him a little bit when he was on the minor leagues because we used to get down there once a year doing shows. And then the next spring in April, he had a terrible April, if you remember, Lou.
Yeah.
And then he came on the old Big Show, and he went right at us. He was pissed off, like, nobody thinks I can do it. You guys don't believe in me. And he seems to, the first time you do it, and then when you become a damn good player, and I really like this kid, and I like the way he plays the game, mm-hmm. and he gives it 100% every day, that I get it. You've defeated all of those demons, all those people that said you were too small, you couldn't do it. But at 34, to throw it out there, put it this way, I just look at my whole career, and nobody expected me to do it.
Well, see,
what
that's,
I did.
That's the part that, you know, again, you're right about Pete. I hope he comes back. You know, and you love the way he plays. You got a kid, you watch him play like that kid, play like Pedroia, right? But it's that narrative, and I understand it because he's a guy that needs a chip on his shoulder, right? All athletes do. But this, to me, has always been something like the Patriots. They just sort of make it up. Because everybody just goes along with it, this narrative that nobody thought he could do it. Like, when you play baseball up here in the Northeast in college, you know, when you get drafted in the 20th round, like I was in the 10th round, you know, and you kind of in the minor leagues, and they don't pay much attention to you, and you get to the big leagues, and a lot of people will be like, man, I never thought that kid would make it up to the big leagues, you know, but good for him. This narrative that nobody ever thought he could do it. Like, maybe it's going back to just the month of April his rookie year, but when you are, like, the MVP of your league in high school in California, I think he was All-State as a senior, when you get a scholarship to Arizona State, when you're named All-Pac-10 3 years in a row, you know, when you are the starting shortstop for Arizona State as a freshman, when you are the starting shortstop for Team USA for back-to-back years, when you are named back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year in college baseball, you know, when you are the Golden Spikes Award finalist, which is like the Heisman,
yeah.
When you're drafted 65th in the second round, I got news for you. Everybody expects you to do it. Like, I'm serious. Like, you know, and it's not like, you know, I'm just saying, like, you come out and there's a lot of guys that, man, that have this narrative, and it's actually true. That people really did not believe that they would actually do it in the big leagues because they saw them in high school. They saw them in college. But your whole career, you're the starting shortstop for Team USA. You're the Heisman finalist in college baseball. You're all league. You're all world. You're all everything. Your whole freaking amateur career is highlighted by award after award after award. And you get drafted in the 65th round. You're a bonus baby.
Yeah.
And nobody thought he could do it.
No, even in the minor leagues.
Everybody thought he could
Lou,
do it.
Yeah. We talked
That's
about
That's why he got all those awards.
I think he was in the minors for like 2 years here.
He was league player of the year.
Exactly.
Oh, like, got another award.
Oh, yeah. No, we talked about it. This is the next great player. Everybody talked about the fact that he was short, he was small or whatever, but this was the next great player. And we talked about him. Everybody did. So I think he almost manufactured it.
And,
that
chip on his shoulder.
Yeah. He's got a lot of Rodney Harrison in him.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah, he does.
That, you know, even when somebody's giving you a compliment, you're dissecting it and filtering it to see how you could use that as a dig so you could somehow draw some sort of inspiration from it. No, you said I couldn't do it. No, I said you were great. No, you were mocking me. Great.
And it's just like the narrative continues, you know. Like, I wouldn't bet against Pedroia, you know. Nobody ever thought he'd be this type of player. No, he was, you know, other than, you know, I know Jason Veritek was, as far as an amateur goes, had every award in the book, but this kid was pretty damn close to it.
Yeah, he was.
Well. Like, everyone thought he could do it.
Okay, so start over again, right?
That's why he was all world and everything.
So start over. So what do you think he can come back from? Because it's basically, you know, 2 years.
Here's the thing. Everything that everybody tells me about the injury says no. But I still don't think the Red Sox go out there and sign any second baseman. They don't need a second baseman. They got guys. They can do the exact same thing they did this year with guys like Nunez. All we know is not a great second baseman. With Brock Holt, with Su-Wei Lin. I think the kid Marco Hernandez might come back. And then you give Dustin Pedroia every opportunity to show that he can still play. And if he can give you 50 games, then so be it. Maybe he gives you what Kinsler did. Maybe he plays 2 or 3 days a week. And if not, you go find maybe a glove guy for a minimum deal trade at the deadline for a guy like Ian Kinsler to play second base if you need to solidify the position.
The problem you have, though, Christian, is that he keeps on breaking down. One knee thing now. Mm-hmm. Let's say he can come back and do
I don't know enough about it, but from what I understand, everybody telling me this is no cartilage, bone on bone. I don't know if he can come back. I'm like, well, okay, whatever.
He's had wrist problems, hand problems. He's had a bunch of different stuff. I feel bad for him because
he's probably working out with Brady.
A big part of it is that he puts so much into it every single day. I'll give him all the credit in the world. Unfortunately, his body can't maintain it, can't maintain this type of schedule. But the whole idea of, reaching back for all of that, you're 34 years old, you're a veteran, you've had a hell of a career.
Mm-hmm. This just goes away my whole career.
You don't just quit.
Nobody thought I could do
this. You want to, what else are you going to do? I always talk about, people always talk about, like, you're going to retire. Well, I have to rehab this injury for life. And in the process, I'm going to see if I can still run and play baseball again. Right? So that's kind of probably where he's at right now. And if he can, he'll have an opportunity to show we can still play. And if he does, obviously you're not going to play him every day, I don't think. But you try to get as much as you can out of him.
Did Bradford make it to Vegas, or is he still rubbing down Dustin Pedroia's knee down there in Chandler?
Whatever he can do.
I don't blame him.
Yes, boss.
He got a great piece. Read it. WEEI.com. It's worth it.
Ooh.
Here's Sean in Connecticut. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Sean.
Let's see. I'm the kicker who's called each of the last 3 years about Gostkowski missing his extra points.
Okay.
Oh, you're the guy.
Kicking him from the hash. But this, and I said this, or I called the beginning, now he's doing him from the middle. He's not going to miss one all year.
Okay.
And he's been money up until this week. And
so what happened?
So, what happened is, and I've actually said this in other calls, 95 or more percent of missed kicks in the NFL, because these kickers, they could do this stuff in their sleep from 50 yards, are missed because the kicker cannot resist the temptation to look up at their kick as they're kicking the ball to see where it's going, like a golf swing.
Yeah.
And they don't actually keep their head down and watch their foot hit the ball and follow through because they want to see where it's going. And if you watch a replay of missed field goals, it happens all the time. They all do it the same way. Like, their head goes up with their foot. And I said this before in past years, when Gostkowski misses one, if you watch him on the next one, he makes such a point of keeping his head down that he actually doubles over and keeps his head facing the ground, and he doubles over and bends himself in half because he's keeping his head down.
Yeah.
Trying to accommodate.
So the only reason why you hook it or push it
footing
is because you pull your head up?
You don't have consistent footing either. Whatever.
Yes, because if you think about it, it's
like you go off swing, right?
The timing, that if the hold is off by an inch, front, back, left, or right, the athletic ability of the kicker is all about being able to make that adjustment as you're watching your foot come down and hit the ball and to make the adjustment.
Wow. Thank you very much.
We won't talk about college football and the fact that Steve Adazio just got a 2-year extension, but we're
going
to sit here and talk about kicking technique.
I like stories.
Boy, that was really awful. We can't talk about kicking. We can't do it. Try this guy, Larry in Groton. Hi, Larry.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, hey, Larry.
Good, good. So I guess this is maybe directed more towards Fourier. So on the play where Brady threw to Gordon and they had the pass interference call, if his hand wasn't held, he's apparently... It looks like he's going to pull it in, score a touchdown. So it looked like the Patriots were going to score there, trying to go for a touchdown. High risk, low reward kind of thing. Then why on first down wouldn't they try to go for a touchdown? I know you talked about it yesterday, but they were trying to go for a touchdown.
Are you talking about, obviously, the end of the game? So Gordon just has a pass interference. It's first and goal at the 7, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, first of all.
They were trying for a touchdown the play before that.
Yeah, they took a shot. I don't know what down it was, but they took a shot.
They were trying for a touchdown every play.
No, but he's. I'm kind of getting confused here. So you're saying why didn't they try for a touchdown after that or before that?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Because, after it, right?
I mean, yes.
Okay. Yeah. You know, they did.
At least. On
why didn't
down.
They throw it?
Yeah, throw it.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. We worked it out. We figured it out. No.
Yeah, you're good.
No. I don't like that scenario. That's a stupid scenario. You run it. It's first and goal at the 7. You have basically 3 downs to get 7 yards.
Miami has a timeout left.
It's the clock.
And you have to force them to burn a timeout?
Here's the problem. This is what Josh did, which I think is a mistake. So he took his playbook, And he went to the way back, and he said, okay, running plays that won't work.
See, that's stupid.
And he ran these three running plays that he didn't think was going to work.
On purpose.
On purpose, because he didn't want to score. Right. They weren't trying to score.
Well, they could get the field goal. He was fine with the field goal.
But why not run the runs on the front of the playbook where it says these ones will work?
The good ones.
Yeah. It's late in the game. You don't want to embarrass the Dolphins.
They were trying to score.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know they weren't trying.
In the air.
But, Larry, the idea is to run the clock out. They did effectively. There were 7 seconds remaining for the final play for Miami. That's exactly what you wanted. If you had passed and the passes weren't complete, you might have given Miami a minute and 10, minute and 20 seconds left with control of the ball.
See, to
me,
this part of the game is this part is real simple. So,
simple.
And then let's say and then you throw it on the first down and it's incomplete. Not only is the clock stop, but they still keep their timeout.
Exactly.
So it's
right. No, I get all that.
Then, Larry? Because I'm missing something here.
Because apparently they were trying to score, and if they had scored, there still would have been a minute and 50 left.
Correct.
So you're saying because the pass interference...
Yeah, but what would the lead be?
Larry,
what would the lead be if they got a touchdown? The lead would have been 9. Miami needs 2 scores in a minute and 20. Yeah.
Once you got the pass interference, you're in a position where you could milk the clock down to 7 seconds. I think you would do that again.
I would say that some people should look at the play-by-play. It's available on all these websites. Go to ESPN of the game. And then just put the numbers down and do the math. It's pretty simple. The Patriots did exactly what they were supposed to do to get to the point of that final play. And they screwed up that final play.
If Jorge could just let him score here.
That was even dumber. Oh, my God.
Take 4 knees in a row.
Rob's in a car. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, I was calling about the Red Sox free agency.
Yep.
And also, real quick, I'd rather Lou in the booth than Neverett, because he's terrible.
Well, I'm going to be there.
I don't know. I'm reading some stuff online. Not good. Here's one of them. Text just came in. My worst fear as a radio listener to Sox game seems imminent. Years of listening to intelligent, insightful, gracious commentary by Truppiano, O'Brien, and Neverett about to be replaced by the grating, often vulgar Maloney.
Yeah, suck it.
Wow, vulgar. All right.
The changes, as David Bowie's saying.
I'm telling you.
All right, well, do we have a question here? What's up with Rob?
No,
what's up?
I have to say, I wouldn't mind trading Bradley, because you could always sign a free agent left fielder, like Marwin Gonzalez, to play out there, and you can still give JD some time in the outfield. And then you have Mark Gonzalez, who can play second base, third base, give you a little bit of everything, kind of super utility kind of guy.
How much
Marwin
do you think,
Gonzalez.
Who costs more, Gonzalez or Jackie?
Probably Marwin.
Okay.
So why would you do it? What they're trying to do here, Rob, is save money.
That's true. I don't
know. Okay. Thank you.
Hey.
Ken, it's always a math problem.
Well, that's the whole thing of, like, they're trying to cut salary. So the only way you cut salary is if you get nothing in return but prospects.
Correct.
Okay? Because you can't just trade away Jackie Bradley Jr.'s 8.5 projected through arbitration, 9, whatever it might be, or Xander's 11.5, 12, and just let him go and then be like, okay, well, you know, do we have the luxury of just letting him go and not replacing that position? Like, the Red Sox feel like that? They can get a young, controllable guy pre-arbitration for $500,000 to be a fourth outfielder?
Right.
You tell me, because you can't trade away Jackie for prospects and then sign Marwin Gonzalez and spend $4 million more.
Right.
What are we doing?
Right. You're right. And I think people are looking at the value of Bogarts, the value of Porcello, the value of Bradley Jr., and they're sitting there saying, well, we need to get something back in return. I think you're right. I think they're going to be disappointed with the return, because the return is going to be to cut money on the payroll.
Hmm.
What are you doing?
I don't know. He's doing the hand signal.
What are you doing? What's that hand signal over there?
You tell him. Explain it.
It's very vulgar.
Explain
and I would never do that.
I saw that.
A vulgar person.
They have this little exercise thing.
I'm not a vulgar person.
They have a little shake weight thing.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He's doing the shake weight thing. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier, the show that's all about sharing.
I got weed for everybody. Who wants some weed?
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Listen up, baseball fans. Listen to your craving, the one telling you to pick up some delicious Drake's Cakes. Swing by your local retailer to pick up a box of your favorite Drake's Cakes today. Do you see the stash in the back of the booth here?
No, who's got the stash?
Tons of them back there. Funny Bones, Devil Dogs.
Oh, man.
Ring Dings, apple pies, coffee cakes.
Doesn't fit on the diet, though, Tim. You know, I'm just looking at the fat loss I'm on. There's no Twinkies involved.
There's a strike call to Xander Bogaerts.
Did you get a break? You were there?
Friday, Saturday nights. I like to call them break time. That's fun play.
Xander hits a ground ball left side.
What a the chemistry! What electric!
I tell you what,
it's electric, isn't it?
You can't find that type of chemistry anywhere.
Wow, why can't
Follow
we develop
up,
that chemistry?
It. Woo! We've been trying. We keep working at it. We'll get it. You and I. I feel like we're almost there.
I thought he was talking about me with a mustache sitting in the back row. Think about stash.
No, stash.
Or drugs. Drugs.
No, it would be the food. The what
stash.
Was it? Drake's cakes in the back.
Yeah. I don't think I was supposed to mention Twinkies because I don't know if it's a Drake's cake.
It is no.
Hostess.
Nope.
Right.
Okay.
Hostess is Twinkies.
Get your if you want that gig.
Yeah, you got to start kissing a lot of butt, Lou.
Yeah, you'll have to kiss a lot.
I am starting today.
I don't know if this is for you.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get in line. Nobody puts baby in a corner. You know, isn't that who he is? Like, he's going to, like, rebel.
No, he's going to. You won't be good at this.
You can't give your
opinion. You're good at doing the analysis. You're great at it.
Oh,
but,
I know.
But you're going to have to deal with a different,
like,
it's a different world.
And you imagine if they did.
262 games, you know, plus they do, like, 30 spring training games.
Yeah, yeah.
Winner's off.
Imagine, like, so what they did, what David Price did to Eckersley, what they're going to do to you.
On the plane?
Like, yeah, because they don't respect you.
Well, we would say, go with the hands up, go, okay, just go. Let's get this over with.
Just bring it.
Come on, let's go.
You need to do something like stand up. Who wants a piece? We're going to settle this right here now.
Yeah.
Right? Like they did in the Old West.
Closed door meeting.
Tom's in Springfield. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
What's going on?
I have a gripe. I love listening to the radio broadcast of the Red Sox. I've done it for years. But, man, what sucks now is that they got Lou Maloney every now and then in the booth.
Oh, man.
He doesn't know when to shut up.
Oh, you're ripping the...
Oh, you don't like Lou? I think he's
ripping
a nice...
The president of the Illuminati?
Lou is lousy.
He's lousy.
I think he's tremendous.
Sometimes when you're listening to the radio games, a little silence is golden.
Mm.
But every time there's, like, bad space, Lou's mouth is running.
Every time there's bread space, your mouth is running.
I gotta tell you, never does a great impression.
See, but people just want to go to bed during a baseball game.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you're on radio. I can't see, so don't describe what is going on. I would rather you just shut up.
That's fun play.
And then just say, here's a pitch. Ball one.
Xander hits a ground ball left side.
That's it.
And good news, though.
Silence.
Good news, these Sunday night games.
And people enjoy that.
Yeah.
When they enjoy silence.
Silence?
No, yeah, like it's on the radio. Like, I see on TV.
You can question
on TV that maybe you don't even need anybody talking. Right, because you watch it.
They've tried that before.
See,
didn't work.
I like silence on TV. Like Jessica Mendoza, they could eliminate all of her lines on the Sunday night broadcast, and I'd be good with it. But on TV, you can have the silence because the pictures are there.
Yeah, you watch the game.
Yes!
But what do you do on a radio when it's like, here's the pitch, ball one?
Well, we had it Sunday night.
No, how about this one? Strike three. Anybody want to know what the pitch was? Would anybody like to know if it was a fastball or a curveball in the dirt?
Yeah, silence doesn't work on the radio.
Ball, strike.
Did you hear our buddy Zolak's call on the final play on Sunday?
I heard
speechless.
30 seconds of silence.
All we heard was crowd noise for like 32 seconds.
30 seconds, I think, of silence.
Nothing.
He didn't say anything.
It's the radio. It's not TV.
30 seconds later. I don't know what to tell you. That last guy that called in Dale and Holly and Keith, he would have loved him on that call. He didn't say anything for like 30 seconds. Now that's what I call good broadcasting, when you don't say anything.
Stunned, baby, stunned.
Like sometimes when I'm in my backyard and I'm listening to the Red Sox, I want silence. It's soothing.
When I have the transistor.
Don't tell me
backyard.
What's going on. I hate it when people tell me what's going on. I'm trying to sleep over here, and this guy interrupts and tells me what's going on. I hate that.
So Jessica Mendoza back for a new 5-year deal with ESPN, and they think she's so good in ESPN that they are expanding her role to other ESPN platforms.
She's going
to
be the NBA color.
Wow.
No, she's probably going to do like she's going to be on? Get up and get down.
If tomorrow morning we are talking about the Red Sox being up 1-0, what will we say was the reason? What is their X factor tonight?
You know, it's not going to shock the world, but it's J.D. Oof. Martinez and Mookie Betts.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. She may host SportsCenter.
Here's the problem with this. There were already...
I told you the X factor was Steve Pierce.
You did.
And you were right.
You did. You were right.
Won the MVP.
You were right. What did Neverett have?
He's not allowed to give an opinion.
That's an opinion.
Yeah, that's an opinion. You can't do that. So she's back for 5 years. And, of course, the Twitter universe today just kind of lit up that they are all excited because, you know, you got to pander and you've got to go out there and tweet because she's a female. You have to say how great it is that she is now going to be around in my life for the next 5 years.
Great move by ESPN. Exactly. Oh, my God. Congrats.
Great job. It's great. They finally recognize talent, what talent is. And,
what they announced? Yeah, Jason Richard Witten Deitch's got a five-year extension.
Huh?
Jason Witten got a five-year extension.
It's a long-term plan with him. Give Jason Witten some.
He sucks.
Cut him some slack.
He sucks. He's not getting better. He's getting worse. It's almost like he realizes he sucks now. So Jason Garrett and Jerry Jones were trying to get him back in the last two or three weeks.
No, that's not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
That's not true.
How do you know that?
We talked to Bill. I remember you mentioned it, and then he was like, mm-mm. He shook his head. It's like, mm-mm.
Nobody died, he said.
Nobody died. Yeah, so what do you care if he sucks? Nobody died.
Yeah, but Lou's right. So Jason Witten sucks. Jess Mendoza sucks. And yet they treat them differently.
He has that inch shorter. He's able to get his barrel to that spot just enough so that ball can be hit out to left field.
Okay. I believe her.
That, to me, is an adjustment. You don't grab another bat.
So it seems so simple, but it's so significant.
Huge. It's an inch in length. And honestly, he still didn't even get all of it.
Lou?
You know what?
Lou, hold on. Give us the baseball terminology. Break it down, Lou.
I can tell you what they're talking about.
I want a baseball guy.
The floor is yours.
I want a baseball guy.
That inch matters.
Let Lou deal with it.
That's what they tell me. I don't like to believe it.
You're so vulgar.
I don't believe it. What are you talking about?
You shouldn't be on the radio broadcast.
Hold on. What are you talking about?
Vulgar.
I'm talking about baseball.
I'm talking about him pulling his hands.
Why did they give her a 5-year extension and then they think that the public loves her because you've got the Richard Deitches and a few other guys, Chad Finn and others, who will sit there and pander and they'll tweet out. And so they think they love him. But the public, do you really believe the public thinks she's really good? You're going to expand her role and put her on other ESPN shows, please. Leave her on baseball on Sunday night.
Like she did during the World Series, right? She can go on all these, you know, Stephen A. Smith shows, right?
She's going to do it daily now. Yeah,
some of those.
Yeah, all right. Really? Do we need to see more of her there?
No, I actually think she'll
be like... So if Jason Witten started going on those other shows, how would you feel about it?
See, the problem that you have is to what you're talking about with, like, a radio...
you're applying gender.
But being
watching all the players right now.
What does gender have to do with hosting the Rose Parade?
See, to me, it's like, if you start doing what they're talking about doing, you do, like, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, or if you do, like, MLB Network, and you start going on opinionated shows, that might be a little difficult for you. No? I mean, now you got to give your opinion on what...
Here's the thing.
You can't be in a booth... When everything, if you watch MLB Network, like the Hall of Fame thing, all of them should be in.
Yeah, but Lou, that's what they're doing.
Every player should be in.
But that's what they're doing.
You know, why did they lose? They'll never tell you why they lost. There's no negativity. They're promoting the game. But now you go on with Stephen A. Smith, and she sits down with Stephen A.
And you fluff it up, though. You don't sit there and...
He would fluff it up for her? Why? Excuse me?
I see another suspension. I can't win. I just feel it.
Oh, it is
the holiday season, though, so it really wouldn't be that bad.
Wouldn't you go after her and just say, like, this was a big screw-up, this guy sucks, this guy can't do it?
They're all protected. They protect themselves. Even when they, like, anything that's real hard-hitting that could get them in trouble, that could force people not to like her, that would force people not... No, I'm telling you, like, you mocked the Rose Parade. No, I'm not kidding. Like, this is the type of thing, like, ABC, ESPN, Disney, obviously, all the big, one big happy family. People who host SportsCenter or on ESPN will end up hosting the Rose Parade. I guarantee you, who wants to put money on it? In the next year and a half, she will be one of the sideline commentators talking about the carnations and how cool the float
was. And by the way, people are taking the bait right there, and I look at it on the text line. They're all saying, oh, if it was a male, you wouldn't say it. We just said that Jason Witten sucks. How about this one? Dan Fouts sucks. He's awful.
You're only saying that because he's a man.
No, I'm saying it because he sucks. And in the end of the game, he actually said that Miami should let New England score, which would have changed the score from a 2-point deficit to a 9-point deficit, and they would have like a minute and 40 seconds left, and they would need two scores. It was dumb, but he says dumb stuff all the time.
Deep diving, partner.
Oh, we can go through the list of all these guys that suck. What difference does it make?
See, I don't know. I have a different opinion of Jessica Mendoza.
What do you say?
She doesn't bother me at all. I do not see.
Because you don't know baseball.
Because I can, you know. No, well, I mean, I know.
So she's appealing to you because you actually think she knows what she's talking about.
I guess I just don't care if she ever hit a baseball in the major leagues. I just doesn't bother me. I like her credibility. I look at those all those Sunday Night Baseball shows, and I'd rather listen. Like if she gives me an opinion, I'm like, I don't care. Like, why does it matter?
But what I'm saying is she's going on those other shows because ESPN now thinks she's a star.
Okay,
they now want to put her on all of these other vehicles.
So is the letter host.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I don't like her. You like her.
I like her because she's a mom. She's...
What?
Holy moly.
And then,
holy moly, it's right.
Go to break.
Why are you mocking this? You are unbelievable.
You like her because she's a mom?
Well, you didn't let me finish.
Hey, Luke. Go ahead.
Luke, there's a lot
there
of things.
A long pause
She's a mom, and she's working hard, and she's a good example for young girls growing up. I have a lot of girls.
Can we get into that?
They'll learn from that, knowing they'll look at Jessica Mendoza and say, even though I didn't play Major League Baseball, I can call a Major League Baseball game.
Lewis. Oh, my God, Christian, I totally agree. Yeah.
No, they won't sound like that, though.
Love you guys.
Lewis, you and I in sensitivity training. Christian doesn't have to do sensitivity training this time, right?
No, just I've you learned. You guys insensitive.
Yeah, exactly. We have another hour left of this program. We'll get right back to your phone calls coming up next.